cranky.
We've chosen a selection of songs that speak to the nation as a whole.
You have a surgery when you get your appendix out. You got a boob job.
Yep, sure did. Things America needs right now that is sunshine and optimism.
Yay, glee!
Also angels.
Glee kids, hooray!
You can't hit me!
Well, sure I can, unless you got yourself knocked up again, slut.
Yay!
Yay!
Stop violence.
Oh, please! She has a family, she's a mother!
Walk away and tie down your body before you get to class! Didn't send her to an active crack house.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Choir Room for yet another take two, as we are almost at the end of our little mini-series here, looking back at the season finales of every season of Glee. Excited to get into this one here. It is season 5's finale, The Untitled Rachel Berry Project. Of course, I'm Matt alongside my co-host, Aman. Aman, what's going on?
Yo, yo, yo. Back to NY Glee, one of my favorite eras. It's definitely probably not my most favorite episode of that era, but we back.
We are back. And I think this might be a, not to take a Taryn Armstrong quote, but maybe a shorter episode. We'll see how it all goes. But, you know, there's a lot less going on in this finale, I would say, overall than the other. Definitely the first four and probably the last one, considering that's a series finale. So I don't know. Season five is season five. You know, what do you get what you get with it.
Yeah, you really do. You're just like, take it or leave it, baby. Take me, baby.
Plenty of people. Plenty of people just left it. So, you know, there's that.
But not us. We stuck through to the bitter end.
Sure did. Well, you kind of already answered the question I was going to ask you to get started here of you still like I didn't expect your opinion to change like a whole lot or anything like that. But I mean, it's been over a year since we, you know, did our first run through. Like the NYC era is still like top notch to you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes. Definitely. I just feel like it's just a different Glee. A more mature Glee, just a little bit more. Just the writing style is different. It's not the same campy, self-referential Glee that we get. It has its moments, of course, because it never stops truly being Glee. But I just think the reset, the shrinking of the cast, even though narratively speaking, was what needed to happen. Definitely it sucks for the actors that just sort of signed on to be a part of the entire thing and then got cut in the middle. That sucks for them. But, you know, if anything that we were going to get, I'm glad that it was this. And I feel like this is sort of like the taste of what we probably could have had because, you know, towards the end of season three, first the reports were coming out that Lea Michele and Chris Colfer and all the other seasoners were not returning to the show. And then all of a sudden the reports coming out that, oh, they're going to get their own show, like Lea Michele, Chris Colfer, they're going to get their own spinoff and it's going to be a different part of Glee. And then Glee will stay at McKinley. And then they canceled that. And then they decided to just do the split premiere or the split setting for the season. And then we finally get to season five, and I feel like this is probably more of what we would have been getting had they decided to do their own spinoff. So, yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot.
I maintain I would have been down for any of the spinoffs that, you know, could have been possibly proposed, whatever it was. I probably, you know, not even probably. I definitely would have watched it, and, you know, I'm sure we definitely would have recapped it after we were done watching all of Glee. But, you know, that's not what we got. We ended up very quickly bowing right out of this NYC format going into season six. We know how that goes. The hard reset back to Ohio and, you know, as much of a 180 as the show does and the story does, as do half the characters who some of them are on great tracks going, you know, this part of season five. And then season six is like, oh, actually, so my life sucks now and back in Ohio because I need to figure it all out, you know, silly me. So, you know, that's just how the show went. And, you know, it is what it is. So I don't know. As you know, not much has changed for me. I'm still not the biggest fan of this part of the show, but I'm also, again, not a big fan. I like it just fine. It's definitely different from everything else. You know, this is 7 episodes, I believe, out of 122 that they did. So I'm perfectly fine with these episodes existing. They're just towards the bottom of my favorite list. And that's, you know, it is what it is. And this, you know, finale here is more than likely going to end up at the bottom of my finales list. It's just, I don't know. It doesn't do what the other girls do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's fine. But it does what different girls do for me.
I guess. My number one thought while watching this finale was just, like, it didn't feel like a season finale. Like, all of the other ones had a sense of finality to them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, seasons 1, 2, and 3 are all, you know, very carefully crafted. Season 4 had some finality to it with the new directions, obviously, you know, at a competition, and also the Britney of it all. And this episode is, like, it just, this could have been episode 16, 17, 18. I mean, this is a shorter season by 2 episodes than most of the others, but I don't know. It just, it doesn't have finale feeling until you get to, like, literally the last scene and song.
Yeah, I mean, it, I mean, like, look, season 5 was such a, you know, off-the-cuff type fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants season from beginning to end due to an untimely passing of one of the cast members that just derailed everything, and it just sucked. I won't say it out. Well, that may be a little too harsh, but I definitely agree. This finale just doesn't hold the same sort of weight and stakes that the rest of the finales sort of do, in a way, even in season 4, ending in the middle of the school year. Here it just feels like everything that we've been following Rachel for, because that's what the main part of New York is about, is Rachel and Funny Girl, and then she decides to quit and get a TV show. And the rest of the characters are sort of in and out. Britney's all of a sudden coming on tour with Mercedes, but she was supposed to be in school at the time, and Blaine and Kurt are staying in New York, and Sam is leaving. It's just everything that I just feel like I would rather have had, like, an entire season of New York if this was how it was going to end, because I feel like we just got here and all of a sudden everyone's going separate ways. It just feels very strange.
Yeah, it's just obviously very quick. And I mean, I'll get this, you know, rip this Band-Aid off now of just this finale, and obviously the season 6 finale are always going to be, you know, bottom tier of all of the finales in my book, because my favorite character is not here. And we don't need to, you know, get back into the whole, you know, reason why and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, they write off Santana saying that she's shooting a Eustostat commercial and she's not here. Britney's literally only here just because essentially Heather Morris had availability, and they, you know, I don't know if it had anything to do with Santana not, you know, being, or I guess Naya not being there for filming for this episode, but Heather Morris just popping in, having absolutely no involvement in the story. It's just like, okay, yeah, let's just throw her in there and see what happens. You know, Britney's always good to have around if we can get her here. So it's just, you know, a couple of strung along storylines, you know, kind of mashed together. Again, they're trying to give us some finality, especially at the very end. But with the Blaine and Kurt of it all, it's just, you know, more fighting, more making up, more fighting, more making up. With the Sam and Mercedes, it's, you know, obviously they've had a pretty good couple of episodes back to back throughout this New York era, but it's giving them some closure here, but it's not like that's the end of the story. So I don't know. It's just, none of this feels like anything that I can really sink my teeth into. You know, it's like a couple of good performances, a couple of weak ones, and overall just meh. That's how I feel about it. But, you know, again, is what it is.
Yeah, totally. Totally had more fun watching the first part. Like, I had more fun watching the beginning of this part of the season rather than the end. Definitely.
For sure.
Definitely.
For sure. So, I mean, I guess we'll get into it with a couple of the different characters, you know, where their stories are here and what's going on for them in this finale. Obviously, the one that we open up with and the one that is, you know, the most, I guess, important is Rachel. Rachel is, you know, about to have her career come crashing down, and she doesn't even know it yet, is, you know, taking up this idea of leaving Broadway to go be an actor on TV, and that sounds like a great idea to her. And now this script writer is coming by, who is a very eccentric person, very interesting person, Mary Halloran, and she's, you know, gonna completely cause havoc amongst Rachel and her friends this whole week, leading Rachel to potentially do this really wacky script for a show that has nothing to do with Rachel's life. Eventually Rachel turns it around and, you know, figures it out. She's gonna head to LA. So that's the story in a nutshell. And it's just, I wish any part of this made any kind of sense, but it never has and it never will.
Not at all. Yeah. I mean, she's half the part of this era is all about her securing her spot. The half of the season is all about her securing her spot for Funny Girl. We open up with the show not even having started yet, and we're not even sure if she's going to get the part. Obviously, she's going to get the part. But now it's, I'm tired of being Fanny Bryce. When you just got here, you got such rave reviews. This is such a beautiful push off and starting point for your career, but you would rather, chase a TV show about you. And quite frankly, Rachel, your life isn't that interesting.
Not even kind of that interesting. Like, there's nothing about you that stands out for a television show. Nothing.
Literally, it's nothing. Such a circle jerk when you think about it, because, I mean, there's long been a critique about how the writers don't do enough to put opposition in Rachel's character. Like her, mm-hmm. her whole arc, everything is pretty much handed to her in the end, always. Even when it comes to, like, to Niada, which is arguably, like, her biggest... what's the word I'm looking for? Her biggest, like, adversary in the entire series. And then she just follows Carmen Thibodeau all around the Midwest and is able to get into Niada.
Everywhere.
And then that's it. Yeah. And so now you have this character that's trying to write a story about this character that literally has nothing to really...
Two gay dads. There you go.
Yeah, there's two gay dads that don't work for NASA. One of them used to be black, but I guess not anymore. It's just like...
And, like, you know, Rachel immediately starts to kind of open up to Mary Haller and being like, oh, this is a little bit about me. So I'm a singer. I did the Glee Club. And she's like, nope, not important. It's like, that's literally her thing. That's all you can really write about for her. I mean, if you want to get, like, a little bit more deep, you can go into, you know, almost getting married as a younger person. And obviously there's more tragedy in her life with the recent passing of, you know, her former fiance. And there's, you know, stuff to get into there. But that's, like, I don't know, maybe a YouTube interview, not like a whole, like, damn television show. Unless we're looking at, you know, then again, maybe in, like, a modern television show, this could be, like, a quick one, that one season Netflix kind of deal, like maybe a documentary about the star of the 2012 National Show Choir Championship team, who, you know, again has recently has recently gone through some tragedy. Like, I could see a documentary series about Rachel, but not a TV show. I don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah, no, especially like not even a documentary, because, like, she just got here. Like, what are we documenting? Like, what? Like, Mr. Shu and Coach Sylvester, who will have nothing but horrible things to say about you. So, I don't know what we really want here, but okay. Yeah. Okay, girl. And even Mary Halloran knew that. She's like, oh my God, I'm so bored. Like, can I just snoop through your bathroom, please? Because I'm bored of this already.
And it gets even more boring later on when Rachel's like, you know, at one point we're going to get the true chaos of the episode, where it's like, this is literally just, you know, this is the puppet episode all over again, but even worse, of just of Rachel having to read these scripts that Mary wrote of, like, three different scenes of Brittany and Blaine sleeping together, and there's, like, animals in one, and I don't even know what the hell's going on. It's just, it's all over the place. And then after that, she's like, okay, trying to figure out, like, how do I get this person to see me and my story for what it really is. Oh, I know. I'll sing some Pink to her. And it's like, even that is, like, the most boring performance, Rachel, you've ever given in your entire life. Like, that's what you're pitching here. So she's not doing herself any favors anywhere she turns.
Yeah. It's just not giving. What else can we say? You know, just
throw some glitter in the air and whack it all over the place and try to create.
That's like two unnecessary Rachel Berry performances in a row now, because she sang the rose at that weird ass audition.
Truly.
And now she's singing this shit.
Meanwhile, like Blaine's out here, you know, Darren Criss gets three songs in one season finale. Like, you know where the attention was intended here, and it's not on Rachel. So, you know, you got that going.
Yeah.
But that's that. And like I said, towards the end of the episode, we're going to see as, you know, they're all kind of reconvening, talking about where they're all going next. And Rachel does find out that the show is going to be filming soon, and she's going to L.A. and they're going to make the pilot. And oh, my God. And again, we know how this is turning out, but she doesn't. She's excited. So, you know what? Go on.
Go on, girl. I mean, I feel like Brittany probably had a better idea of what would have been a better show, because I have to agree with her. The first edit was better.
Brittany had a successful web show for like 4 years. Of course she knows what's better.
Right? Yep.
Like a hit definitely. Show. Like, listen to Brittany. What do you think that you know that Brittany doesn't? Look at her viewership.
I do it for two. Honestly.
Like, it's whatever.
10 million subscribers on Twitch.
Speaking of Blaine, the Blaine and Kurt of it all here is, of course, that Blaine has this big showcase coming up. He's been linked up with June Dalloway the past couple of episodes, and she is really trying to highlight him to, you know, show this like shiny new talent. And Kurt has been involved as well in the sense that he expects that he's going to be performing with Blaine because Blaine lied to him saying that he's going to be a part of the show, but June wants nothing to do with Kurt. He just wants Blaine all to herself. And, you know, ooh, we're going to get, yeah, maybe. I mean, fair enough. You know, Blaine's a handsome man. So yeah, that's just, you know, that's their own dilemmas in this episode. And of course, they're eventually going to, Kurt's going to find out the truth. Blaine's going to get sad, sing some John Mayer, and we're going to, you know, eventually kiss and make up and all's fine.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about how Blaine does so much to antagonize Kurt in this season. And this is sort of like the last disagreement that we get to see before they break up. But I'm glad that they were able to sort of make up one good time, one time for the road, because you're going to need it, because you're about to have a dry spell for a long, long time. Well, at least Kurt is. I don't know about Blaine. Blaine's going to be out here getting Karofsky juices, but...
Ew! He doesn't sound like that. Oy. I mean, yeah, okay, great. Moving on.
Oh my god, that was hilarious.
Yeah, Blaine's, you know, living his life, trying to just, you know, advance his I don't know, his career, and like he's actually doing some things that could be, you know, successful for him, unlike Rachel. You know, take this kind of opportunity to let other people like see you, like these big shots with lots of money, like let them see your talent. That's a great idea. If only you weren't, you know, ruining your relationship with your fiance along the way. But eventually, you know, he does this whole heroic act at the end where we're gonna get the Blaine and June Dalloway performance of No Time at All, and then he's like, oh, one more song, and actually Kurt's coming up on stage. I love that
performance too. It's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think both of these are not like any kind of top tier, but they're both perfectly good to me. And also the American Boy performance, pretty timely, because I'm pretty sure I saw a tweet either today or yesterday that it's been 16 years since that song came out.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh yeah, I guess it has been. I still remember like hearing that or watching that video like for the first time. Mm-hmm. Remember like when VH, I think I've talked about this before. You remember how like VH1 used to, like if you turned it on early in the morning, it would just be like a bunch of music videos back to back to back to back to back to back to back.
Sure.
I just remember waking up one day before school, 2008, freshman year. And that was one of the songs that came on. I was like, oh, who is, I knew who Kanye West was obviously, but I was like, who the hell is Estelle? I love this song. And then like 2 months later, it was everywhere.
It was actually 14 years ago. 14, and this tweet is from this morning. 14 years ago, Estelle released American Boy featuring Kanye West. The single was a global smash hit and helped Estelle emerge in the U.S., peaking at number 9 on the Hot 100 and later being certified 2x platinum. It won Best Rap / Sung Collaboration at the Grammys.
Yes, it did, baby. Will you be my American boy, American boy? And now... Flash forward, 14 years later, Kanye is once again nominated at the Grammys, but this time he's not allowed in.
Oh, what a world. Yeah.
What a world.
Speaking of award shows, a Glee alum winning a Oscar, right? That was the Oscars this weekend?
Yes, Phineas went ahead and won the Oscar, which, fine, whatever. Like, at this point, it's just like, anybody that sings the new song for the Bond franchise will win. Like, totally. They always love the Bond films. Just like, and it's like, I'm not trying to be a hater or anything, but it's just like, that song is not that great, but it is what it is.
I'm looking forward to the next Casualty. I imagine you guys will be pretty fired up.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll have lots to say.
Is that the Sunday?
Or this week? He has not hit me up yet, so I'm not sure.
It's gotta be soon.
We'll see, hopefully.
I mean not that like the world needs more takes on like the slap of it all, but like I don't know, I feel like you guys will have some fun with it.
Oh yeah, definitely. So definitely
I'll tell Bryce to make sure he records with you. I have a lot of pull there. no. So yeah, that's the Blaine and Kurt. My hot take of this rewatch is that I didn't dislike All of Me as much as I did the first time we podcasted about it. I don't know. It just hit me different this time. It worked a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with as many listens as possible, it just continues to get better. It's just the fact that it's a song to him about to reveal, I'm a horrible person, break up with me, but
I'm so sorry, I lied to you about singing, that's the worst thing I could do.
I slept with Britney, I'm sorry.
We get some emotion out of Chris Colfer that the Kurt character doesn't usually get to portray. That, like, we've seen that before with, like, him being angry at Karofsky and whatnot, but, like, we don't get into it. Like, he's fired up, like...
Yeah, he's fired up. Knocking shit off the piano and everything. He's just like, yeah. I mean, he's over it. It's over it. Like, ever since Blaine moved to New York, it's been just nothing but problem after problem after problem. Like, enough.
Got
it's
one
enough.
Last problem without Blaine. Should have been in that number.
More problems with Blaine.
But yeah, like I said, Darren Criss getting three numbers in one episode. Like, is this the Darren Criss, highlighted finale? I mean, it's not like any kind of goodbye to him, because he's obviously going to be in plenty of season six, but I don't know, just a big, big feature for the guy. So
yeah. Yep.
Meanwhile, a person who got only one song in this finale after just getting her back for, this small string of episodes here in season five, Mercedes. And she gets one song. It's a ridiculous song that it does the opposite of grow on me. I'm like, okay, this is really just insane. Mercedes and Sam have the storyline here of Mercedes is getting ready for her tour with her backup dancers, including Brittany, and she's going to meet up with Santana along the way. Sam is busy modeling and deciding what he's doing with his life, and we'll get into all of his modeling escapades in this episode, and the whole storyline about them holding off on making love because of what Mercedes's beliefs are and all that. So that's what's happening here. And again, yeah, just Mercedes one song. Like, this is you're not like saying goodbye to her by any means. Like, she'll be in season six, but like, you don't know that for sure, do you? I mean, maybe, I don't know. Could have given Blaine one less song, given Mercedes one more. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah, I mean, always more Mercedes is always the best. But I mean, I do like the shaking my head single. It's a lot of fun. Just, how far we've come since Hell to the No. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's like, I know the lyrics are ridiculous, and I feel like we kind of broke them down the last time. Last time we did this episode, but. I don't know. I think whenever it gets stuck in my head, I'm shaking my head because it's just so ridiculous. And I'm like, I don't even know the words. All I hear is like garbled, crazy lyrics in my head. I don't know what to do with it. Whenever it happens, it makes me upset. Sorry.
I just can't take my eyes off of Brittany Nolan performance. That's all I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's what you gotta do. When Brittany's around, you gotta give her a chance to, show some moves. Yeah, but like I said, Sam has the whole thing here where he is, in deep in the modeling world, and he's trying to figure out, his path here. And he's also very, very, very in heat here. As we see him at his gig, he's got, a rubber band around his wrist that he is just snapping the hell out of to try to control himself from down below, popping out a tent in his pants. And yeah. It's a hard time to be Sam. Oop, hard time.
Yeah, he's really struggling with trying to be as faithful as possible to Mercedes because he loves her and he wants to commit to no sex. It's making it really, really hard when you have to be around all of these other uber attractive people, and then on top of that, the photographer is sort of a creeper and just wants to get in your pants. It's rough, I feel like it's just not something that Sam probably anticipated as much. Well, he probably anticipated being around a bunch of sexy people, but I don't think he anticipated being in New York and Mercedes showing up sort of just threw a wrench in all his plans, because if Mercedes wasn't here, bitch, he'd be a hoe. Like, Artie would not be the subject of the STD episode. It would be Sam, because he'd be out here. So... yeah, but I do like that, it's a nice moment for his character development, because we do get to see him, it's the Sam back in the Promise Ring era, back in season two, making his reemergence in season five.
Just the most loyal puppy you'll ever have in your entire life. Mm-hmm. I feel like I needed to give props to Ryan Murphy because he allowed this scene to happen with, you know, without it being just like the RuPaul's Drag Race pit crew walking around, you know, like only a bunch, like 40 hot men walking around in like underwear during this model shoot, because he very easily could have done that, you know, Sam included. But, you know, the whole scene being that Sam is, you know, just very much in heat and he's surrounded by all these women. I was just like, I very easily could have seen Ryan Murphy going in the other direction because that's just how he does his shows. Watch any season of like American Horror Story. It's just like, what are we
doing? Do you mean by that? Like, have him like be interested in men?
No. Just truly take the opportunity to have nothing to do with the storyline of Sam and Mercedes and just have it be, you know, Sam walking around half naked with a bunch of other guys in the exact
same. Gotcha.
Just because that's what Ryan does in his shows. I mean, if we want to go that route that you just mentioned, we could do that instead. But that's not what I was getting at.
I mean, we did. on my Twitch channel.
We did. And that file is lost for all of time, except for those who joined us. But yeah, so he is really just having, again, a hard time here getting through these photo shoots. And eventually, you know, the photographer, like, you know, he catches her eye, and eventually she's going to invite him to come back later on and have like another session with kind of just the two of them, but also the photographer that eventually gets kicked out because he's kind of staring at Sam's nipples in a little strange way. And then she's going to end up on top of him and kiss him, and he gets sad and tells Mercedes, and she doesn't mind. And, you know, it's okay. It's, again, we're fine. What about this is season finale? It's just, again, an episode.
Yeah, it really is like a hodgepodge of wrap it up. Like, and I'm not talking about the tested episode. It's just lots of let's tie this up as soon as possible into as neat as bow as possible. I do remember like watching this for the first time and being shocked that he does go in for the kiss, Sam, with the photographer. I'm like, oh shit! But then I guess you sort of like needed that to happen in order for the conversation with him and Mercedes to sort of be a little bit more impactful and meaningful, I guess.
Yeah, they obviously had to, you know, if they were going to go into season six, not being like, okay, we're as committed to this relationship as we are to Blaine and Kurt. Like, of course they're not. And, you know, and you can count Brittany and Santana in that as well. Because we know how season six is going to go for them. So it's not like they were really planning on like, oh, this is a third couple that we have that is going to be a thing here in season six. So it's fine to me that they, you know, I mean, as much as the stand within me wanted them to be together, it's fine that they, you know, split them up like this and they just kind of, you know, run with the excuse. That's kind of the easiest because it's, you know, Sam, you know, I mean, it all makes sense that Mercedes wants to wait and Sam is a young guy that probably doesn't want to wait. And Mercedes is very understanding of that. So I don't dislike this part of the story. It's just, again, like we keep saying 100 times, a little bit rushed and a little bit strange the way that you know, they cut it off so abruptly here. But
they should have been in game. I kind of feel like that now.
They are. It's, you know what? They are. They, we'll get to the season six finale next time we talk, but you know, he's still reaching out to her and she's still answering. She's still, you know, it's fine. So
she probably found some, person to make cocoa babies with.
Wait, what?
I said she probably found somebody by the end of the series to make cocoa babies with.
I mean,
Shane,
look,
would say
Sam is available, so I just hope, you know, the best for them.
Cocoa, not caramel.
Yeah, sure. yes. So I don't know. What else is going on with these two? I mean, kind of covered the majority of it. Poor Sam is just, you know, really.
That's kind of it.
Struggling here with it.
He's struggling with it. Has that mishap with this photographer.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately he is going to have his dream come true of getting his junk on the side of a bus.
Yes, he does. He does. And you know, he's a talented guy with the materials that he has. So, it's good that, you know, that he took advantage of it while he's, you know, nice and young here and everything still looks the way that you would want it to as a model of his age. And he seems to have gotten his
way you phrase that.
I'm trying. And you know, as he says, he accomplished what he was looking to accomplish by coming here to NYC. And at the end, he's going to decide, you know what? I don't think this is really the lifestyle for me. And obviously, like, I don't think anyone could disagree that that, you know, that makes plenty of sense for Sam to not really be the New York City guy. He wants to go home, live a quieter life. Like, that's what him and Finn kind of bonded over. Not necessarily, like, they had that in common, at least, of just being like these quieter, you know, they were popular both, you know, in the school that they came from, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're these big personalities that are looking for like ultra fame. Like, they're just, you know, quiet guys looking to, you know, live a normalish life. And that's where Sam is heading back for a normal,
yeah. And I respect that. I respect just like knowing yourself enough to know, you know, this was great and everything, modeling was fun, but it's really not what I really want. And I like that, because so many of the kids have such grandiose dreams. Rachel wants to be on Broadway. Kurt wants to be on Broadway as well. Blaine wants to be on Broadway as well. They all want to act. Tina, for a certain amount of time, also wanted to act, but then I guess decided to go to Brown instead. Still don't know what the fuck she's doing. Mercedes wants to be a singer. Brittany ends up being a crazy mathematician. Santana just wants to be like the next Kim Kardashian. All of these kids just want to do things. Even Marley wants to be like the next singer-songwriter. Then Sam, he wanted to model, and then he was like, I want to go back to Lima. I'm done. I'm good. Yeah, I'm going to ditch my family in Kentucky and just go live in Lima by myself, I guess, and get a job at McKinley. But, you know, I respect it, because not everybody has such grandiose dreams of, you know, big-ass attention-seeking jobs. Oh, I won't say attention-seeking, but, like, you know, just big jobs that circle around being talented. Not everybody mm-hmm. dreams to have that kind of thing.
I mean, yeah, they come from this glee club where their star performer did want all of that, as well as a couple of the others, you know, the main players here, Santana, Mercedes, Kurt, like all of them do want that. Blaine, to an extent, you know, is looking for something like that, but not all of them. And that's fine. So, you know, it's good that they don't make everybody have to do that. They make everybody have to go to New York for the sake of the story, but to have Sam go back, and even to have Sam go back like during the song, you know, while they're singing Pompeii at the end, I thought was a decent choice, because it's like, all right, he's not sticking around for
yeah. I remember you said that was impactful for you the last time you liked.
I just really love the scene of him, yeah, back at the high school. Like, he makes his way back so fast. You know, who knows what time is here, and this, you know, lightning fast train that goes from NYC to Ohio that exists. But just the way he's already back there, and he's looking into the choir room, like he knows that like there's unfinished business to be had in there, and obviously the impact that room had on him, and, you know, all of the places that he's going now and not knowing what to do with himself. So I don't know, just that one scene has stood out with me, and I don't know. I like that choice to get him back ASAP, especially after, you know, Mercedes, she's going on tour. She's leaving. She's out of here. There's not really a whole lot for him to do, but unless he's going to go follow her around. And I don't think that either of them really think that's a good idea. So they don't.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. What would he have done? I mean, not that he had a specific plan to do anything in Lima anyway, but, you know, everything, the cards fall where they may. They usually do. As long as you try to stay true to yourself. So ultimately, Sam makes the best decision for him and his mental health. You know, I mean, he says it in a comical way, but he says, you know, this city's just too fast. It's just, my brain is too slow. I just can't deal with this. And mm-hmm. yeah, you know, go where you feel the most comfortable. Go where you are not going to, you know, feel overwhelmed socially, physically, mentally, all of that.
Yeah. And he has a great performance in this episode. I have, been very much on the record as a big fan of Girls on Film. It's my favorite Sam performance.
Girls on Film. Yeah, definitely underrated, I think. Underrated mm-hmm. Sam performance.
Definitely my favorite Sam solo by far. Not that there's like a whole ton to choose from, but it's my favorite, and I like it a lot. And it was just as fun this time as it is most times. And then the other number that we didn't really talk a whole lot so far about is Pompeii at the very end, which, you know, I think, again, also on record, pretty big fan of this one. And I don't remember you having any kind of strong take. I don't know. Thoughts of this time around?
On what exactly? I'm sorry?
Pompeii.
It's fine.
There's one part before I like let you actually give your opinion that I asked for. There's one part where at the very end, you know, where Rachel's like walking out, she's in like this, the black shirt and the beret or the beanie, whatever she's wearing. And she's like walking down the street and there's like a million extras walking behind her. There's one extra that really kind of like, I don't know, like she just, my attention is drawn to her every single time because she's walking like in a straight line right behind Rachel. And then out of absolutely nowhere for no reason, she takes a hard left turn and walks the other way. And I'm like, where were you going? And why did you decide to stop going in that direction just to completely walk behind Rachel?
When is it again?
It's towards the very end where like Rachel's about to do the part where she's about to like look up to the sky and kind of look back down to the camera and smile. And it's like right before that, all of the extras are walking behind her. And this one extra just takes like a very hard left turn, walking straight towards Rachel and then kind of turning to the left for no reason. It's like, you know, the extras, you know, the way that the director was telling all of them to like, you know, just walk like you're casually in the city singing Pompeii with Rachel Berry, the star of the New Directions Glee Club, whatever. And just be casual. And this girl's like, I'm gonna make myself known or seen here. I'm gonna walk weird. That's what I'm gonna do. Are you watching it?
I'm watching it, but I can't see what you're talking about.
What are you? Are you at the
part about it?
I don't know what part.
It's like, she's saying the last bit of the chorus, and then she looks up, and then she looks at the camera, and then leaves.
Yeah, it's before that. Extras. It's before that. It's like right after, like the scene ends that she's like says, you know, I'm going to LA. It's pretty much right after that. So she like comes on out. She's walking down the street of New York, you know, with all these people behind her.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody makes a very abrupt left turn. You'll see it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. But they all do that, though.
A lot of them go in different directions, but like hers, this one girl.
You're saying her specific turn was like,
I see it every time I watch it.
Director said turn, so mm-hmm. I'm a turn, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know. There's got to be people who like knew what I was talking about listening before they, yeah.
She knew she was on camera. She knew she was right behind Rachel, so she was like, let me take my moment. Seize mm-hmm. it, baby.
Let me just walk like an insane person. And she does. So shout out to her. Maybe the shoe star of the episode. No, probably not. But yeah, did we talk about every performance? Probably. Don't think we're missing any. What was Artie's role in this episode? Why was this man here just to do nothing?
He was literally there just to talk to Mary for 2 seconds. That's yeah. it. You know, I mean, it already had the best episode in Tested, and that's pretty much it. It pretty much goes back to being exactly what they do with him throughout the rest of the series. He's there to facilitate someone else's storyline, and if he's not facilitating, then he's just singing a good song real quick, and then he's out of there.
Pretty much.
And that's essentially what they did for him for 7 episodes, except for Tested.
I don't know where they were recently. It was I saw Kevin McHale's Instagram post, but he was with Amber and Chris Colfer, and they were like, I don't know if it was like something related to the Oscars this past weekend or what, but they were all dressed up very nice, and they were at this event together, and they all just looked, like I said, really nice, and it was just cute. So I took note of that. But so yeah, Artie, I don't know what he's doing here. And Brittany as well, you know, also talked about this at the top, but it's like, she's just here to be Brittany, which is cool, but not a single significant part of her story playing out here, which is fine. There's plenty more of that.
I feel like it's one of those things where Santana was supposed to be there, but of course the whole, you know, thing with her and Leah, getting into a fight and she wasn't invited back for the finale. Brittany was supposed to be there, so I really want to know what the first draft of that was going to be, with Brittany being there, but she wasn't there. Because Brittany does feel very awkward being there without Santana. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we don't like Brittany on her own, but, you know, it felt very awkward and off-putting for her to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's the episode. What did we miss? That's the episode.
Yeah, I mean, it's those. Great. It was fine. You know, it definitely did not end this part of the era the way that I wanted it to. But like I said, I'm giving them grace because we do know that season 5 was such a whirlwind for not only the actors, but for the writers as well. It just they did what they could. And they had just gotten renewed. Well, they had been renewed for season 5 and 6 at once. And so they already knew that they had an entire season to write for. And so I think that the best thing that they could do was just wrap all these characters up as neatly and as quickly as possible so that they could go full force into season 6 with an established arc for everyone. And I think having Rachel, I think the only thing that they really messed up with, I think, is having Rachel sort of already achieve her dreams in the middle of the season doesn't really leave you for anywhere else to go in season six unless you bring her back down, which I think in a lot of ways does work for season six, but I think it makes the latter half of season five suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if the payoff or the trade-off is worth it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what happens in any kind of story, that you're going to kind of elongate more than maybe you absolutely really need to. Of course, like, they're going to keep going if they're going to keep if they're allowed to keep going and making the show longer. But, you know, there's absolutely, like, people make arguments all the time about, like, when they should have actually ended the show because of certain characters having, like, parts of their story that made the most sense, the new directions having part of their story that made the most sense to kind of end off of. But when you keep it going, you kind of just have to bounce things back and forth. And like you said, give the characters new ups and downs to make it all make sense. So, you know, we'll always be sitting here screaming
make
at Rachel for making stupid decisions, but maybe they weren't actually her fault. You know, there are writers. I don't know. It's fine. No, they're Rachel's fault. So as far as the slushy rating goes, unfortunately, I like to, you know, do this whole thing where I'm like, oh, what did I don't know what I gave it last time. Let's see what I feel this time. I know that I gave it a 3 slushy last time. And I kind of feel like I just have to keep it at that 3. Nothing really makes me say that I feel worse about it than I did the first time around. And I definitely don't feel much better about it than I do this time around. So I'm just going to keep that 3 right where it is. And what do you think?
I'm going to go ahead and give it like a 2.5. Which might be an increase because I feel like I gave it 2 the last time. Only because, I mean, what saves it is the fact that I still am invested in the storylines because I do love this part of season 5. And so that sort of saves a bit of it for me. But the way that everything is sort of like quickly wrapped up is like, I mean, you guys could have used those extra 2 episodes. Like, why did you cut it off at 20? Like, what was the point? So... and that there's like no Santana there, which is so weird. Like,
which is why it can't go any lower than me, or any it can't get any more improved for me. Like, I think they automatically get 1 slushy for me for not having my favorite character on the show. It's important to me. Sorry. So that's that. I mean, maybe it should be a 4, but no, I'll leave it at the 3. It's not like a terrible watch. It's just not any kind of exciting watch for me. So right. The 2.5 for you though is actually exactly what you gave it the first time.
Oh, okay. All right.
Consistency. So for you, and I know I sent you a voice memo as soon as we finished recording the last episode, because you were about to give away at the very top of the episode your order, and I was like, wait, save it for the end, and then forgot to do it at the end. So I'll tell you what your order is according to your ratings and tell me if this sounds right or makes sense, and you might have to make a clarification along the way. The episode on this rewatch so far that you have rated as your favorite is the season 3 finale, followed by the season 1 finale, followed by, you have the same rating for seasons 2 and 4, so maybe you'll decide which one's better, and then, of course, season 5 at the bottom.
Yeah, that feels right to me.
Any thoughts on 2 versus 4? New York
I
versus
probably
all or nothing.
Have to give the edge to... Number two. Yeah, I think I have to give it to season 2 only because I hate the Klain thing at the end of season 4, and it's weird that it ends in the middle of the damn school year. I do love the Britney of it all, though. It's the Britney finale, but yeah, I think I have to give it to 2. 2 just is, it's just better.
2, I feel like I have like more magical feelings about, or not more, but I feel like I have magical feelings about season 2 finale because it's, you know, they go to New York and everything is all, you know, New York for the first time for all these kids seeing the city and whatnot. But then like, I just, every time that I watch it, I'm like, oh, but they really, you know, they were so focused on being in New York. They didn't do as much as I wish they would have done and blah, blah, blah. I don't have to rehash all of that. But my slushy ratings, how they all play out is I have the same rating for the season 1 and 4 finales. I'm going to say at this time right now, I'm thinking that I am going to put season 1 at the top, Journey to Regionals, as my favorite finale we've done so far, followed by season 4, All or Nothing, followed by, I gave only 1 slushy to season 3 finale. So that's... going to be right in the middle so far, followed by season two finale, New York, and then season five finale at the bottom.
To know who I am before I know who I'm gonna be. To take chances.
Let's just keep doing that.
Live like I see a place in this world for me.
Okay. The worst song of this episode is easy for me, and I think I already said it, so I shall repeat myself and say that Glitter in the Air is going to be my least favorite of this episode. It's close for Shaking My Head, but Glitter in the Air just gives me nothing.
Glitter in the Air does sort of give nothing. What else is there? There's Pompeii, Glitter in the Air.
17 Blaine songs, All of Me, No Time at All, and American Boy, You Have Girls on Film. I think that's it.
I think I want to probably have to go for American Boy because I just despise the cover of it. I just don't like it. I don't like it.
It's just very funny how, you know, they're taking a big... Blaine's taking a big risk here by bringing Kurt up on stage when he knows that June doesn't want this. And, you know, Kurt gets on stage and his contribution right away is doing the, you know, the and the yes and the and the And it just seems so awkward right off the bat.
Yeah, it's just... It's not... Usually they're pretty good with matching songs up with characters. I don't think this is one of the cases of which that happened. So
I mean, I do like the cover, but it is, you know, a mess.
Yeah, I'll give it to American Boy. Sorry, Estelle. Not sorry, Kanye West.
All right. Glitter in the Air somehow escapes the wrath of both of our worst Ire. Songs. Yeah, there you go. My shoe star, I know who it is. Do you have an idea for yours?
Shoe star. Mm-hmm. Fucking Blaine. Duh.
Why duh?
Baby back bitch for lying to Kurt and being just generally annoying. So what? Making up for it doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
I guess.
And it's not the last time that something will happen. So
true.
Although I shouldn't be handing them out, you know, ahead of time, but still, I don't think anybody else really fucked up like he did in this episode.
Bad run for Blaine.
I guess Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel's my pick.
Rachel definitely. Okay, well, if you give it to Rachel, then I'll stick with Blaine. But Rachel definitely deserves one. You know what? No, fuck that. I'll give it to Rachel because what are you doing with this? What are you doing?
Yeah, no, that's why I'm saying it was obvious for me. I mean, writers or not, Rachel decides to do this, that it's just the worst thing she could possibly do. She's such a smart girl. She knows, you know, the best path for her career. She spent her whole life knowing that she wanted to be on Broadway. And I get that people's dreams change and they grow and all of this stuff. And we don't need to go back into this part of Rachel's character study. Remember when we did 6 episodes of a Rachel Berry character study? I do. So we don't need to go back to that right now, but this wasn't the right call. This never was the right call. This is just wrong. And none of your friends are able to tell you to stop. So you're just doing it anyway. And you're really just a mess and you are getting a shoe star.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like you said, we don't have to rehash it, but it's just such a departure for her character. Everything that she's worked for. Throws it away. It makes no sense. All because she just wants to be, I guess, even more famous. I don't know. Like, it doesn't make much sense. Like, you're already famous. You're on the revival of Funny Girl, and everybody loves you. Like, you'd probably be in the running for a Tony. Just stay the course. What are you doing?
Yeah, I would love to remember what I was about to say. Yeah, no, it's gone. I had a thought in my head while you were talking and then I'm distracted because all right, I'll be honest, I'm trying to find out if Hamza's gonna just tell us who got evicted, but he still hasn't done it because he's being annoying.
I forgot he was spoiling. Let me go see.
He's just like slowly revealing, ripping off the band-aid of like who it's not. It's really unless he's like the last 5 seconds, but this man is just a menace to Twitter.
Oh, because it's the safety chain.
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch last night's episode, so I didn't. I've like been under the loop for the past like 24 hours.
Mm, yeah. So. So yeah, I guess we'll find out shortly. We're if anybody cares, we're recording before Baby Ken here on Thursday night to get y'all this one up for sometime tonight or tomorrow, and that's that. And then we'll have one more left to go in this little series here before we close out the finales of these take twos, and you know, we'll see what's next and when the next little project will be. So more on that to come in the future. Let me just find this good old review that was left for us after I begged and pleaded the last time that we talked.
Oh, nice.
Thank goodness somebody listened to the call. The review is from the username is Jim Next with three T's, who just said, "Love both Amon and Matt. Such a nuanced retrospective on my favorite piece of media of all time. Love the character studies. Take two episode revisits. I'm a hardcore gliatch like these two. Love the podcast. Gets me through my work days." Yeah, the character studies are great. And I think at some point in my life, I think I'll go back and listen to them again.
I don't think I've listened to any of them except Mike Chang of all of them.
What? Where did that
come? I don't know why. I don't know why. I think it was by accident, too. I think it was just like my podcasts were auto-playing. Oh. And I was like, oh, Mike Chang, I'll listen to what we had to say. It was like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, definitely lots of them to go back and listen to for my own viewing or listening pleasure.
Yeah, especially like the song rankings. Like I really liked okay, so like maybe it wasn't the most fun for us to like sit there and record all of those song rankings, like, you know, going through like listening and then talking and whatever, but I enjoy listening back to it because, you know, once it's all condensed and edited together, I feel like it was a overall pretty good product. You know, not to pat ourselves in the back too much, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
No, we did a lot of work. It was good.
Did, my goodness. I was talking to Kirsten and Lindsay recently. I did an episode of BoJack Horsepod. Everybody should go check that one out. A BoJack Horseman rewatch. And I was like, they're on season 6, which is the last season of their show. And I was like, so what's next? They were like, we're still trying to figure that out. Like they are thinking about, I think, switching to a new show after they're done, maybe like after a little break. And I was like, no, BoJack character studies? Like, you got plenty of characters here. And they were like, that's a lot of work. And I'm like, yeah, it is. It definitely is, but it's fun.
It's a lot of work. Yeah, but it is fun. It really is a lot of fun. Ow, fuck, I just pricked my finger on this push tag.
All right, we've got an injury. Time to wrap it up.
All right, well, thank you for the review. Really much appreciated. You can follow us at Choir Room Pod on Twitter. You can also follow us individually. I'm at Amon Adwin. Matt is at Maligori. Leave us star ratings and reviews wherever you get your podcasts. We will read them aloud on the show as we just did. And if that is it.
That's it.
Until next time, guys. We will glee you. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Later. Bye.